many years ago, probably 30-some years ago, when I was taking a spiritual director's training program, you had to go to 2-week-long residencies. Had to go is really a strong word. You got to go to South Carolina, to the coast of South Carolina. Beautiful place. And my second residency, though, I was there, but I was very distracted because my oldest daughter, Maggie, had started to have these symptoms that were just so strange. She was washing her hands constantly, and she had to repeat all of these actions many times before she could do anything else. It ended up being what we call obsessive compulsive disorder. But at the time, we didn't know. All we knew was that our daughter was acting very strangely. And I didn't know what to do. So I'm at this residency, and I'm telling some people about it. And I told one person about it who was another student of ours. I think her name was Karen. Karen heard the story, and at the end I said, we don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And Karen starts telling the story. You know, when I was in elementary school, probably about the same age as your daughter, I got my report card back and I got all A's and I was really proud of it. And I took it home because you have to get your parents to sign, right? And then you bring it back to the teacher. She said, so I gave it to my father and he scribbled some things on there and gave it back to me, put it back in the envelope, gave it to me. The next day, though, I got to be curious about what in the world my dad put on my report card. And so she said, I wasn't supposed to, but I opened it. And I read it. And my dad had written, "That's my girl." Mm-hmm. And she said, on the one hand, I was just so proud. I knew that my dad was so proud of me. And that was great. But it was more than that. It was, my dad loves me. My dad loves me. And it just went right into her bones that very day. My dad loves me. And she said, since then, when my husband left me, I knew I was still loved. When I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, I knew that somebody, that I was loved, that God loved me. It was, the way I look at it now through the scriptures today, it was like the heavens opened and she heard the voice of God. That's my girl. And she knew she was loved. No matter what happened to her, she was loved. It was like Peter and John going down to Samaria. And everybody had been baptized already in the name of Jesus, but they laid hands on everybody and boom, they received the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the experience that 9-year-old Karen experienced. I am loved. I am loved. And I said, that's a great story. What does that got to do with me? And she said, that's your job. Your job is to go home and make sure your daughter knows she's loved down to her bones. No matter what. No matter what's going on with her, she needs to know that you love her. And then it was like the heavens opened up for me. Oh, right. That's my job. That's what I'm for. That's what's needed. And so it was. Lots of other things had to happen, but that was the one thing that was necessary. The baptism of Jesus is a little bit different than even that, though, isn't it? Jesus has not yet brought home a report card. Hasn't done it. Well, he has done one thing. He's driven his parents crazy by staying back in the temple when he was 12. That's what we know. We know that he made his parents frantic. But he hasn't really done anything in the Gospel of Luke yet, except show up in the waters of the Jordan. And after he's out, having been baptized, he's praying, and the heaven opens up. And the Spirit descends on him like a dove, in bodily form like a dove. We're going to get back to that in a minute. And he hears this voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That is not a reward for having done something well. Because as I just said, he hasn't done anything yet. The interesting thing about this is that that affirmation is really not the end of something good. It's the beginning. Know this and then go live your life. Know that God loves you and go. And whatever happens in the world, you will know that you are loved. And you can live your life in that love. Nothing can take that away. So then Jesus goes and is able to face everything. Demons, possessions, ill people, angry people, people who want to take his life, people who do take his life, and he's still able to know. Because of the baptism, because of the Spirit descending on him, he knows he is loved and he will not be abandoned. He knows it. And that's what our baptism does for us. We know it. We are given this beautiful gift of water. And every time we wash our hands, every time we wash our face, every time we get into the shower, we are reminded, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. Remember, remember, remember. But we don't remember, do we? We forget. And that's when God's Spirit gently opens the heaven, comes down, and reminds us yet again, you are loved. Don't forget. You're forgetting. And one of my favorite stories about that for me is a while back in my office, when this young kid who we had to fire from the, who was the director of the teen center, we had to fire him because he was not doing very well. And he wasn't listening to the director, he wasn't listening to any of the board members. The director said to me, "You're the only one he'll listen to. You've got to tell him that he's fired and he's not to come back." So I bring him into the office and he's really aggressive and he's like, "I don't know what I'm doing. I've done everything right. I'm doing all these things." And I said, "Wait, no, wait a minute. No, you're not." You know, and he's like, I'm telling him that the things that have happened that I've heard about, and he's just coming right back at me. And we're back and forth, and we're back and forth, and I'm getting really angry, and he's obviously very angry. And finally he says, "I can't believe you're doing this. You're a Christian and a pastor too." And it's like, hook, right? Oh, what kind of Christian am I? Holy mackerel. Would Jesus fire somebody? Would Jesus get mad like this? What? Oh, yeah, it's all these things. You know, you've ever had these experiences of this kind of thing? And this is what I was like. Yeah, I do claim to be a Christian and a pastor. And then all of a sudden, the heaven opened up. And that song, is it a little town of Bethlehem? No, it's not a little town of Bethlehem. It's a Go Tell It on the Mountain. It came to my head. I said, and there's a line in that song. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Right? And that just came. It wasn't Christmas time, but that's what came to me. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so he said, yeah, okay. You want to know? He said, what kind of Christian are you? And I said, you want to know what kind of Christian I am? I'm a lousy one. Actually, I stink at it most of the time. And he just went, what? And I said, yeah, I do. I'm lousy at it. And you're still fired. And he said, I've never heard anybody say anything like that. And I said, Well, that's true. I'm not very good at it most of the time. And the point of that is, that's not why God calls me God's beloved. I'm not very good at being a Christian when I forget that it is God who has already claimed me as mine. When I remember, when I think that I have to prove myself or defend myself from things that people are accusing me of or things that I have done or justify myself, that's when I'm really bad at it, and I'm bad at it a lot of the time. I find myself justifying myself a lot. But the truth of the matter is that I am a beloved child of God. Period. End of report. So the heaven opens up, and we remember. We are reminded. You are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. You haven't done anything yet, but I'm pleased with you anyway. Or you've forgotten, but I'm pleased with you anyway. And that is not just for us. And here we go back to the dove. Remember, in Luke's gospel, there's two really important times when the heaven opens up. The first, we just celebrated, it's Christmas, right? And the shepherd is getting the word from the angel that there's a child born in Bethlehem, right? And then what happens? The heavens open up, and there's a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all." Peace. And here, in the baptism, the heavens are opened up, and the dove of peace descends upon Jesus. In Jesus, as the one who is going to remind us and demonstrate for us what God intends for all of us, how we are to live, descends this Spirit of peace. And through this Jesus, we receive our peace. A peace that is not just, it is for our souls to be at peace, for sure. But not just for me, and not just for you. For we are claimed by God in order to give ourselves away to the rest of the world. And the only way we can give ourselves to the rest of the world is in peace. That's what God intends. And so, in the waters of baptism, we are promised that we are loved, and we are then sent off to give ourselves away for the world in the many ways that I know you all have done and continue to do. And so, on this day of the Lord's baptism, I just want to remind you that that love that God sends you with is not something that you are earning as you go. It is what we have received and that with which we move and give away. You are God's beloved children. That's my boy. That's my girl. Just imagine God saying that every single time. When you wake up in the morning and you wash your face, God is saying, "That's my girl. That's my boy." Live in that. That is a Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.